Our epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and do not have charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. There abide faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spat upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What wouldst thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. But the greatest of these is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, take yourself to that moment, that hour, which is going to be your last, just for a moment. That hour is going to be is approaching for all of us. In that hour, most people who have any awakening or concern of their spiritual life, I think will have one main regret. And that regret is that they did not try to love God more in their life. Now, consider this love of God. We hear about it. St. Paul, in today's epistle, really strives to identify what this love of God is. First, what it is not, and then what it is. He says you can have all the faith in the world so as to remove mountains, yet if you don't have charity, it's worthless. What is this love of God then? Words? I love God? No. Words are cheap. Love of God must be soul deep. It must be so much a part of our life that it's one with us. So we're going to place that idea off to the side. We're going to talk about another one. We'll make the connection a little later. Let us talk about the gospel for a moment. Our Lord pulls the apostles off to the side. The 12. Those who he had picked. Those who had seen the great miracles that he had worked. Those who he had given power to. And he tells them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that have been written by the prophets. Pay attention. The prophets have said these things. Concerning the Son of Man, they're going to be accomplished. And these are the things that I'm talking about. He will be mocked, scourged, spat upon, and after they scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day, he will rise again. Okay, prophecy. Things foretold. Our Lord's words will be accomplished. And the words that follow are astonishing if we pay attention to them. Christ is emphatic. He says three times that the apostles did not understand. Like one right after another. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Confounded. How do we know this to be true? Well, you just have to read the surrounding scriptures. You find the apostles there arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Peter, who had proclaimed Christ to be the Son of God, comes to our Lord later on and says, Lord, you said you're going to go to Jerusalem to be, and you might be killed. Well, if that's going to happen, we can't let you go. And Christ, who changed his name to Peter the Rock, changes his name again in this circumstance and calls him Satan. Get thou behind me, Satan. Your thinking is men think, not as God thinks. These things will be accomplished. This is the reason I came, to lay down my life. No greater love than this that a man has, but to lay down his life for his friends. Yeah, that's what God wants with us, friendship. But too many are too blind to see those things. I was reading in the scriptures, I came to the point of the apocalypse, and this one point stood out. I was doing a meditation, and this verse came up. It says, this angel of God says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and have grown wealthy and have needs of nothing, and dost not know that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Why did that stand out? Because we don't realize what we are without the love of God. Now, what is the love of God? Sanctifying grace. Just because you say you're in sanctifying grace doesn't mean you love God. You have to let it become one with you. That's what St. Paul is talking about in his works of charity. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's an act that we have to make. It's an effort that we must make. And if we don't make the effort, then it can only be classified as a wasted gift. And we know wasted gifts do not please God. When we were baptized, God gave us three gifts among many, but three main. The theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. St. Paul says, but the greatest of these is charity. How do we know? Because when we die, faith and hope will no longer be needed. They're going to go away because you will know. As you have been seen, you will see face to face. That's what St. Paul means. Hope? Well, either you're going to go to a place where there is no hope, or you're going to go to a place where you realize the outcome of having trust and hope in the way that was set before you, in living a good life. Charity. Charity, from the moment you get to heaven, will be perfected at every moment. And of course, we know the opposite of charity is hate. And that's what hell is. So it's important for us to make sure that we awaken ourselves, clear our eyes, the eyes of our soul, so that we can really see what's important, to make sure that we're doing what we need to do in order to make it. How tragic it is if we're given the message and we don't receive it, and we don't do something about it, and we're not sincere about it. Yet it starts with a moment, but it takes a lifetime. We have to make up our mind to convert in a moment and then make sure we persevere. There's only one way for us to see to this, and that is to be a true disciple of Christ, denying self, taking up our cross, and following Him. Denying self. Well, that's one of the main purposes of Lent, to do penance, to make sure that we're denying ourselves. Holy Mother, the Church sets up this time as we remember what He did for us, but we have to make good use of that time. What does this mean? Well, we have to make some resolutions as we are approaching Lent of things that we're going to do and not do. Things to do. Why don't we perfect our communication with God? Meditation, spiritual reading, daily prayer. Things not to do. I'll turn off the TV. Do away with electronics unless they're absolutely necessary, whether they be video games or cell phones or computers. And like it says in the book of the Imitation of Christ, think often of your final end. Because think often of your final end and you shall seldom sin. What's our final end? Death? No. That's ridiculous. That's what, when Scripture says they understood none of these things, they didn't. Even Peter says, you're going to go die. We can't let that happen. No, they didn't understand. Did you hear when He foretold His passion, how He concluded? And on the third day, He will rise again. He tells them of a victory, which is ours too. Our final end is supposed to be heaven forever with Him. But that's a choice He has already made, and a choice that we must make. It's not made by words. It's not made by convincing other people. It's made in the depths of our soul. And as we have been seen, we shall see. St. Paul says, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. God knows if you're trying and you really want to love Him. Let us make sure that we put forth that effort so that He sees what our real want is. And we do that by weeding out other stuff, getting rid of other things. You're not going to be with Him in heaven forever if you're not making the effort. But that effort takes some hard steps, but they're very small in comparison to the goal. Denial of self, weed out selfishness, taking up of our cross, whatever God's will is for us, our daily duty, our sacrifices, our pains, our sufferings, our sicknesses, and following Christ. Not following self, following Christ. This is what He wants me to do. I want to do God's will. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. These are the two great commandments upon which are based the whole law and the prophets. Let this be our motive this Lent. This is my prayer for you, because I want you to have part of that victory which he offers, which we can have a taste of when we come to the end of Lent and celebrate his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.